Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's a Patriots Monday edition of OMF with Lou Maloney.
I love it.
Christian Fourier.
Look at Lou.
And Glenn Ordway.
If you ain't with us, you ain't with you.
Patriots will take over and an opportunity to win the game.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Put the guy that's going to put him on Santa Claus' Christmas list.
The Patriots beat the Cards in the final seconds, able to keep their playoff hopes alive.
What are my chances?
I'd say more like one out of a million.
Now it's time for OMF.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
On EEI.
So the guy that we all had no confidence in whatsoever last year, and apparently Bill Belichick and the Patriots had no confidence in him because they went and drafted a kicker in the fifth round. Nick Folk right now has become the hero of the 2020 season. He has had two 50-plus yard kicks at the end of the game with two big victories.
Yeah, he is my
MVP.
He's the offensive player of the year right now. Yeah. That's who he is. I mean, it's without him, well, I'll tell you what, it'd be really bad.
Yes.
I mean, it's you're getting by the skin of your teeth right now. You're getting a lot of advantageous calls. You're getting teams like when they're not at 100%, and then you're also getting a COVID outbreak. It's coming true. I'm telling you, it's happening for real. You're not mentioning it. Nobody's admitting it. It's happened, but you need a COVID outbreak.
Oh, you need a
COVID outbreak.
Yeah, you got it.
Clap it up. COVID outbreak. Let's go.
Listen. Yeah, you mentioned Nick Folk, Jake Bailey. Those are the two best players all year long.
They have been.
Most consistent best players all year long. But this was a good win. I would say for all the wrong reasons. But, hey, whatever. It was fun to watch. I'm happy for them winning this game, I guess. Even though, you know.
I guess.
It'll screw you back on come draft day. But that's okay. That's for another day.
Now, they're not in for that. You know that.
I would say this was a very impressive defensive effort, especially given after what we saw the last week. To go out there, and obviously the game plan was to blitz the hell out of Kyler Murray. I don't think he was 100%. But still, defensively, I thought they did an amazing job. I really did. Kind of like made these guys, 14, 15 play drives? Kind of little by little. These guys don't want that. They want to work fast. They want to get the ball downfield, and the Patriots didn't allow it.
Listen, special teams and defense was what won that game for them yesterday. Yep. And it's becoming painfully obvious that the quarterback is pretty much incapable of winning these games. That's why you can sit, and I know you're going to get into the COVID outbreak, and they still have a chance. There's still a chance. The quarterback has not shown you yet that he can go out there and win games for you.
Sure he has.
Oh, he has.
Sure he has.
You win five.
What are you talking about? How is he not? I mean, he has single-handedly won you games. He's also been a reason why you've lost games. He's also been in games where he's been the guy that loses it. Listen, like I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's playing or he could ever play at a high level because I think he is who he is. But you could say any other quarterback doesn't make that play at the end. I mean, you can say that he was part of the reason why they were in that situation, but he was also part of the reason why you guys got out of it.
Well, wait a minute. He got 14 yards, but his acting performance got him another 15 yards.
It's part of it. So he should play in the NBA. Flopping is worth it. So and how about me making it into Greg Hill's show, sneaking in and getting a question in there? How about that? Huh? How about me finding a way to shoehorn my way into that
show? Did you give approval for him to use your name?
Yeah, I thought it was staged.
I did. Right. No, no, it was not staged.
I thought they were using you once again.
I would go back, Christian, and I would actually ask you, seriously, maybe was it Miami game one? Like, what game did he win? I would say they're winning in spite of him. You're talking about that final play?
Yes.
Nice. You're absolutely right. Although today in today's game, probably half the quarterbacks in this league can run for that.
Yeah, but
probably
he gave
a lot faster than he
gave it up,
can.
Though. He gave it up before that.
That's
right?
what I'm saying. But why were they even in that spot? You know what I mean? I mean, to me, they won that game in spite of him. But again, in the end, it was a win. And I think it was, as you mentioned, special teams. And
terrific.
More importantly, defense. This
I
is
agree.
A, this is so a team say, that if they got going, if they put up the points they have been, you would have no shot of winning this game.
I mean, I'm not going to sit there and go through the entire thing, but I mean the Ravens game. I mean, he was an integral part in that game. The Raiders game, the Dolphins game. I mean, listen, they only got five wins. So it's not like every single win, but out of the five games, and so I said, he's been the reason why you've lost some. But to me, he's just kind of right where he should be. That's why you need, because if you looked at the stats, if you looked at just the numbers, you would sit there and say, how the hell did they win this game? How did they win it? I mean, they lost almost every advantage. I mean, they 298 to 179 as far as yards, 74 plays to 53 plays. I mean, you had your 36-year-old kicker, who was out of work a couple years ago, win the game for you, playing the AAF. I mean, this is crazy the way it's working. And I also feel like you caught the Arizona Cardinals on a bad day. No Larry Fitzgerald. Kyler Murray, kind of gimpy, afraid of contact. You could tell he did not want to get hit.
They
from
toned
throwing
it down
and fading to diving before, like 2 yards before a first down, when normally he's getting that first down. So, listen, this is the way it goes. This is the way it goes, and it's only going to get more intriguing based on just the way the NFL is being set up and how the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season are like teams are just folding, or they're having COVID outbreaks, or they're having significant injuries at key positions, which gives you a better option to win, a better opportunity to win. So no, I feel good about it. They got five games left. They can lose one game. One.
Ugh.
Maybe two if you get a COVID outbreak.
No, Christian, I'm not even sure they can lose one game. Maybe one game. Maybe. And it has to be against the NFC, because they really would have been better off had they beaten Houston and lost to Arizona. They would have been better off, because that's one of your tiebreakers, and you're going to be in a tiebreaker.
So you got to lose to the Rams and win the rest.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That puts you in the best position possible. I'm not even sure that's going to be enough, but we'll see. He's right. I mean, if COVID breaks out, I mean, you look at the Ravens right now, could the Ravens really fall down? And if you get into a tie with the Ravens, well, you have that tiebreaker head-to-head.
It is crazy,
the Raiders.
With as ineffective of an offense as you have, 84 yards. 84 yards. I mean, he was, what, 9 of 18?
9 of 18.
It was
84 yards.
Terrible.
No touchdowns.
So quarterback rating at 23.6.
Yeah. It to the point where it feels like, I don't know if you guys saw it the way I saw it, it felt like he was apologizing to Josh McDaniels. Like, it was almost like, oh, my God, we really, man, I sucked so bad, yet we still won.
Well, it would have been a good game if he was the quarterback for the Broncos, right?
Yeah, one of nine.
Yeah.
One of nine.
Yeah, like that would have been a really good game.
He completed eight more than a backup wide receiver who used to play quarterback in high school.
But it's an amazing story that the Broncos were actually trying to get the league to allow their coaches to be the quarterback in an NFL game, because they at least played the position during practice during the course of the week. They take a wide receiver from the practice squad who had no snaps at quarterback and said, you're the guy. Good luck. But that's what you've got with the NFL right now. I mean, that is it. Bill Belichick is going to join us here in another minute, and then we'll talk to him and get his take. He's joining us early here today, probably a crazy schedule with my guess is they're going to leave early for L.A. this week, and then maybe they stay.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
They may not even be going to L.A. That's the thing.
We'll find out.
If Santa Clara is shut down and the San Francisco 49ers have to play in another state, I'm telling you, L.A. County is not far behind. They may be playing in Nevada for all we know.
can I just say this?
I'm not even kidding. Watch. New Mexico.
I want to say this.
Arizona.
And no disrespect, Christian. Please don't feel that we're disrespecting you. Can we just let California just drift off into the Pacific Ocean and leave us?
Let us alone in the rest of the United States. What did I tell you in March? I said California would screw it up for all of us. And that is exactly what they're doing.
How soon before, like, say, L.A. County does that, though, Christian? Seriously. I know Santa Clara, a little bit different. You always said Northern California is not California.
No,
correct?
They are not.
So what about your California?
They are not. But I will say that they're not far off. Just watching what they're doing to the high schools and how they're going back on what they said they were going to do there, and how if and everybody's freaking out right now. It would not surprise me at all if they decided that LA County cannot have any games.
My God.
It would not surprise me, especially in December. Look at what we're doing. We're out of an abundance of caution, and we're all in this together. Like, everybody's making new, you know, new issues. You got new issues left and right.
Well, we have our own issues. No, we have our own problems, and we accept those problems because you're right. We're probably not doing it exactly the way it should be done. But California has just gone bizarre, whether it's Southern Cal, Northern Cal. Just think of psychiatrists and psychologists that are going to get
a lot of money.
Oh, my God. They're going to get 10 or 15 years of work, nonstop work out of this, because people are going to be out of their mind. But you're right. The 49ers are playing where this week? They're playing in Arizona?
Yeah.
So they're moving their games to Arizona because they can no longer play their games in San Francisco.
Well, they're allowed to do that, too, because it's a Monday night. Because Arizona is actually at home, I believe. But they're playing on Monday night. So that stadium will have a game Sunday, and then they'll have a game Monday night. So the point is, it's like you're running out of spots in Arizona. You know, if the game gets bounced, if L.A. County all of a sudden during the week says, you guys can't play here, you know, you can't go to Arizona because Arizona's got a game on Sunday and on Monday. So we'll have to wait and see if they're going to actually be going to Cali.
The whole thing is crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. And who knows how long we're playing in this football season. Who knows? All right. A walk-off field goal by Nick Folk, 50 yards, wins it for the New England Patriots. And we'll check in with the coach. Bill Belichick joins us coming up next right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to OMF and Patriots Monday, 22-17, your final in this one. Yesterday, a walk-off 50-yard field goal wins it. Exceptional day by the Patriots special teams. And it's time to talk about it with the coach. Brought to you by Massachusetts General Cancer Center. Everyday Amazing by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health. And by Mercedes-Benz of your dreams. But hurry, great offers will be gone in a flurry. Visit MBUSA.com today. And by Arbella Insurance. Joining us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline is Bill Belichick. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Glenn. Christian, Lou, how's it going?
Hey, Coach.
It's going well. So we have talked the last few weeks about those games where you could not close them out. And yesterday you had the opportunity. Your defense makes the stop. Your offense moves down. And you get the field goal. So it all worked out. Why did it all work out yesterday?
Well, it's worked out like that three of the last 4 weeks. So, you know, put yourself in a good competitive situation and, you know, being able to handle situational football. That's the way it worked out in Baltimore, and that's the way it worked out with the Jets, too.
Hey, Coach, defensively, I thought you guys really outstanding, kind of confusing Kyler. It looked like you guys brought a lot of pressure on him. But when you blitz a guy like Kyler Murray, was the impressive part not was just the discipline in which guys have, because you can't just run like madmen, right, because he gets outside and takes off. But how disciplined were those guys going after him?
Yeah, I thought our pass rushers did a good job. You know, he's a tough guy to handle. He's fast and, you know, an elusive guy with good quickness can get outside. You know, but, you know, overall I thought we either tried to, you know, playing with pretty good leverage and discipline, but it's, you know, definitely a challenge. And, you know, they have good receivers and, you know, good tight ends, good backs. So there's a lot of things to deal with there yesterday.
Hey, Coach, I mean, you haven't had a defensive coordinator as far as title, the title of defensive coordinator, I want to say since Patricia left. I don't think B-Flo had that official title. And I, for the first time for me, I heard you acknowledge, you know, how well Steve Belichick did as far as a play caller making adjustments. How have you seen him kind of grow into that role since last year?
Yeah, well, I think we've talked about it before. We've had, you know, collectively as a staff, you know, I think our defensive coaches really work well together. They all have a lot of responsibility. They all have a lot of input. And, you know, they've done a good job, you know, since Matt left. I mean, it's certainly in 18 and, you know, 19. And, you know, this year has been some challenges. But I think from a coaching standpoint, I think the defensive coaches have done a good job. So it's really, you know, group effort, and you know, Steve has a, you know, significant role, but you know, so did DeMarcus and Gerard, Mike, Brian, Benny. You know, it's good group. Very fortunate to work with those guys. They do a good job.
What do you have to see from a guy to actually officially give him that title? Is it just as easy as this, you know, paying his dues, or is it, you know, something else that is involved with you deciding to give him officially that title?
Yeah, I mean, never really been that big on titles, so just try to do our job and get it done. Titles don't really mean much. What means something is the performance.
So it sounds like you feel really good about the job that they've done based on what you just said, and you also know that rumors start popping up anytime one of your ex-coaches ends up losing their job. So I'll throw it out to you. Do you have any interest in bringing back Matt Patricia or any of these other guys that worked for you before?
Yeah, I'd say right now, you know, we're really just, you know, focused on correcting the mistakes from the Arizona game and, you know, moving on to the Chargers. You know, it'd be a big challenge for us out there, and then, you know, a short week out there for the Rams. So that's really where my focus has been, you know, in the last few hours since the end of the Arizona game. And we have a lot of other things to talk about at some point, but I'd say right now this is, you know, at the doorstep.
Hey, Coach, Cam Newton's been kind of up and down here last couple of weeks, 365 yards last week in a loss, and then this week 84 yards and a couple of picks. So what does it say that you're sticking with Cam as opposed to maybe turning to Jared Stidham?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've won three of our last four games. You know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, play good football on offense, defense, special teams, and, you know, have a chance to be competitive, you know, this week and going forward.
Coach, couple wacky penalties happened in the game. Some, you guys, well, that's me being polite. The first one I have is, the first one was, have you ever seen an offensive pass interference nullified by a defensive pass interference on the very same play?
No, it's unusual. Yeah, unusual.
Right? And then, how did you read the Anfernee Jennings, I guess, blindside hit? Did they read that correctly?
Well, I think Bill Benevich gave an explanation of that after the game, so it's really.
Well, I saw the explanation, and I'm just going to paraphrase here. Just tell me if I'm right or wrong. In that situation, it looked worse than it was, and I felt like that was an optic flag. Like the refs saw it looked so bad that they threw it. And based on their explanation of it, Jennings just has to basically allow himself to get run over or show his hands that he's trying not to de-cleat him. Is that basically the coaching point?
Yeah, whatever the officials say the rule is, that's what it is. It doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. The way the play is being officiated is the way that, you know, we have to play it.
Well, you were certainly working it with the photos. What were you trying to show them?
Not sure exactly what you're talking about here.
Well, it looked like, from TV anyway, that you were actually with huddled up with the officials and showing them photos right after that play happened. So I guess it was you were showing them something that happened in that play. Maybe I'm wrong. You tell me.
Yeah, no. It was actually a different play. Didn't have anything to do with that play.
Okay.
Coach, the end of the half, obviously, maybe the turning point of the game. I don't know. That goal line stand, because you guys came out in the third quarter and really kind of took it to them. But was there? Could you sense that, like in that locker room, a big moment like that, stopping them and not being down 10, only being down 3?
Yeah, well, anytime you have a 7-point play, that's it's a major swing in the game. So, everything was riding just on that 1/4 and 1 play. You know, there was whatever it was, 2-3 seconds left on the clock. So that was going to be the end of the half one way or the other. And it was just really a great play by our players. You know, we got some penetration at the line of scrimmage, and Juwan Bentley made a good strong tackle there, and had a couple guys came in there and help push Drake back and keep him out of the end zone. So that was a great defensive play. Players really stepped up to the challenge and made an impact playing the game there.
Coach, I know a lot of talk of Kyler Murray kind of banging up that shoulder the week before. Did you feel like he was avoiding running, or would you guys do a good job of kind of forcing the handoff in some of those option plays?
Yeah, you'd have to ask him that question. I don't know. I mean, he ran a few times. We were, like we've had the last few weeks, we had it with Lamar, and then, last week with Watson, and this week with Murray. Running quarterbacks are, a challenge. I don't think you want to just, let them take off with the ball, undefended. So, of course, we were cognizant of all of their running abilities, and particularly yesterday with Murray. That was certainly a focus of our defensive game plan and the responsibilities, but the players did a good job of that. But how much he wanted to hand off or run or whatever, I couldn't really answer that question.
Hey, Coach, was this about as good of an example of complimentary football as we've seen in a while, as far as just defense, offense, struggling at times, and then all the big plays you got from your special teams, really in every, from coverage teams, from punt return, kickoff return. I know that's been something that you guys have been working on. I mean, how good do you feel knowing that you can actually get some production from those guys?
Yeah, well, this is definitely our most productive game on special teams, in the return game. I mean, our coverage teams have been pretty consistent all year long. For the most part, our kicking's been pretty consistent as well. But this is the first time we've really had, these kind of explosive plays in the return game, or blocking a kick like a block punt or, long punt return kind of equals about the same in terms of field position. But we haven't had those plays in the first 10 games, and it was certainly great to get them yesterday. I know our players have worked, extremely hard on it, and, we've been close a few times, at least, close to blocking punts, close to returning them, close to returning to kickoffs. But, to be able to do it yesterday was, obviously a big boost to the team and, created scoring opportunities for our offense. It's just hard to keep giving the offense the ball, 80, 85 yards away from the goal line, and it's a long way for any team to go. We're able to put our offense on the short field a couple times, and that was obviously a big help.
So let me ask you about, because I'm a little bit confused. The Dr. Mills a few weeks ago came out and he claimed that you guys had followed protocol after an investigation. And now we hear that the league is fining you guys $350,000 for COVID protocol violations. What are they telling you that you did wrong?
I'm not sure. Not sure exactly what the the legal legalese is on that. So,
well, Coach, let me ask you about Julian Edelman, because I'm just curious how he's looked recently, and what a guy like that coming back can do for your offense.
Yeah, I think Julian's made a lot of progress in the last couple of weeks. I talked to him the other day, and certainly feeling better, and able to do more, do a little more each day. So we'll take it day by day, and see how it goes.
Are you confident he'll be back at any point this year?
I know he's working extremely hard, and I would certainly never count Julian out of anything. He's got tremendous will and a great work ethic, and very competitive. Football is very important to him, so it would take a lot for me to count him out, put it that way.
So, Coach, I know you guys are heading out, obviously, to L.A., back-to-back games. I don't know if you saw what Santa Clara County is doing as far as no sports. So San Francisco has to leave, and they can't play their games in their home stadium. How many contingency plans do you guys have just in case L.A. County does the same thing?
Yeah, honestly, Christian, I don't really concern myself with all those logistical things and a couple of other questions that, you guys have asked, which are good questions. I'm just trying to focus on, coaching the team, trying to prepare the team, trying to improve the team, do a better job on the things that I, have direct input on. So the rest of it is, if they tell us to do something, then we do it. If they tell us we're in a certain protocol, then we follow that protocol. If they tell us that, some part of our travel or schedule has been adjusted, then we'll adjust it and, make the changes. So it's kind of been like that all year. Our team's been adaptable. They've made last second changes. They've made, changes a week ahead of time. They've adjusted, different things that have come up. So, whatever it turns out to be, wherever they tell us to play, when to play, then we'll prepare to go and play there. These college teams this year that have, have two or three games scheduled during a week and then have to change and, don't know who they're playing until the middle of the week or whatever it is. I mean, it's just, that's a little bit of the 2020 football season, from a big picture standpoint. So I think, everybody's probably trying to do the best they can. They're trying to, work things out so that the season can be played, which is, I think, ultimately what everyone wants. What all that entails and so forth, again, is honestly, I have enough to do with, trying to prepare our team and see if I can coach them better and see if we can be more productive. That's really what I'm working on. And whatever the rest of it is, we'll find a way to work through it.
So, Bill, are they allowing you to stay out there for both games, stay out in L.A.?
We'll have to see. I mean, we play Thursday night, so it'd be pretty hard to, fly back and then turn around and fly back out there again.
So they haven't given you word yet whether you can do that? Because I know there was some they had mentioned earlier in the season, Sunday to Sunday, people couldn't do it. You're right. Sunday to Thursday, it makes no sense. They haven't given you the word yet?
Yeah, we have our travel plans and, our schedule and so forth, and we'll but where things are today and tomorrow and all that, we'll see. So, we'll see exactly how things turn out. I don't know.
So,
right now we're getting ready to play the Chargers. But, if, like you said, if there's some kind of restriction on where we play them or when we play them or whatever, that might impact the next game too. So, again, I'm not really worried about that right now. We'll get ready for the Chargers and whatever decisions get made, and we'll deal with them when we know what they are.
So I would think that you would have a sigh of relief. You went from Lamar Jackson to Deshaun Watson and then to Kyler Murray, now rookie quarterback Justin Herbert. What have you seen from him? I mean, not necessarily the runner that those guys are, but he can still scoot. How do you think he's played so far?
I think he can run plenty well enough. He's fast. He's athletic. He's an excellent passer, a good decision maker. smart kids, got a lot of poise and a passing offense. You know, as 10 games of experience now in the NFL or whatever it is. So he's got, you know, all the throwing ability, can make all the throws. Again, smart guy that, you know, understands football, and he can run, he's fast. I think any quarterback running play you wanted to have in your offense, I think he'd probably be able to do it. So it'll be a big challenge for us. And, you know, he's got a very good skill set, and he's got a lot of good skill players with him. You know, receivers, tight ends, running backs, and obviously the quarterback we're just talking about. So there's a lot of guys to defend, and it'll be a big challenge for our defense this week.
Coach, I want to ask you about N'Keal Harry. It's been kind of a tough year, too, for him. What does he have to do, or what can be done to get him more involved in the passing game?
Yeah, well, I mean, offensively, you know, we'll continue to, you know, try to find ways to be productive, whether that's running or passing, and, you know, whatever works best, whatever gives us the best chance to win, whatever, however those combinations work out, then that's, you know, that's what we'll try to do. So it's not geared around, you know, trying to produce stats for a certain individual or not a certain individual. It's just about team success and, you know, the opportunity and matchup of our team against our opponents. That fluctuates from week to week and could fluctuate within the game. So we'll just have to, you know, take it one game at a time and hope that we can score more points than the other team. That's really the idea here.
Coach, before I give you the Mercedes-Benz question of the week, do you still call them the San Diego Chargers like the rest of us do? How often do you make that mistake?
Yeah, it's hard not to call them the San Diego Chargers, and it's hard not to call the Raiders the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
You know? If I don't think about it, I probably have slipped it out a few times the wrong way. Not intentional. It's not meant to be derogatory in any way. But, yeah, you know, it's a habit, and, you know, as you get older, Kristen, sometimes you get stuck in those habits, and they're harder to change.
So. Tell me about it.
Okay, all right, so Mercedes-Benz question of the week. Make this season your reason to become part of the Mercedes-Benz family with limited time offers during the Mercedes-Benz winter event. But hurry, these great offers will be gone in a flurry, so visit mbusa.com today. Coach, I don't know if you've I'm sure you pay attention to college football, but I don't know, did you happen to see Sarah Fuller, the former college soccer player, become the first female to play in a Power 5 college football game? Did you happen to see that by any chance?
I didn't.
You didn't. Well, she did. She won like a little pooch kick, so getting a lot of praise for that. But I think the question is, you know, do you envision a female playing in the NFL at some point in time, like while you're coaching? Do you see that's like something that could happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you guys.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it seems like there's, you know, like, there's just,
can't
I just
win.
Feel like it's, the last one I remember was from, Kathy Ireland was a kicker in college, in a movie. That's the last kicker I know, female kicker.
In a movie.
Kathy Ireland. Carly Lloyd.
In unnecessary rough.
She'd probably do well in the locker room.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely back in the day. Well, that's the Mercedes-Benz question of the week.
Yeah.
There you go, Glenn.
All right, there you go. The conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Enjoy Southern California. Christian says it's beautiful this time of the year, so you enjoy it out there. Good luck out in L.A., and we'll talk to you next Monday, Bill.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Hey, Coach, Cam Newton's been kind of up and down here the last couple of weeks. 365 yards last week in a loss, and then this week 84 yards and a couple of picks. So what does it say that you're sticking with Cam as opposed to maybe turning to Jared Stidham?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've won three of our last four games. You know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, play good football on offense, defense, special teams, and, you know, have a chance to be competitive, you know, this week and going forward.
I'll give it to them. When you look at it, they're playing their ass off every single week. There's no denying that, you know, the effort isn't there. They're well coached. They're scheming team by team by team. And that's why they're able to steal five wins here. And they've got some talent on the team. It's not consistent. But the quarterback, does anybody believe that the quarterback is really helping them that much? I mean, even look at that last drive, guys. So the first play of that last drive, James White loses a yard. Cam is sacked on the very next play. Yeah. Now you're dealing with a third and 13. The game is on the line. And I give it to him. That was the one play he made for 14 yards. And then he got a 15-yard penalty on top of that because Isaiah Simmons was stupid and, you know, cracked him with the helmet. And suddenly it sets up a field goal. But I don't know. Does anybody feel confident even after this with Cam?
Here's the thing. If Brian Hoyer didn't pee down his leg and played terrible when he got the start against Kansas City, I think they would have made a switch. I think if he would have shown anything whatsoever, if he would have been competent in that game, and he was at times, he had two major issues, red zone offense, where he just said, we can never trust this guy, even though he knows the system. Because what Cam is doing, and you're right, Lou, I was trying to build a case against it, but you're right. They're winning in spite of him.
Yep.
In spite of him. And yes, he makes some good plays, but holy cow, he makes twice as many good, you know, bad ones as he does good ones. Well, or just the fact that they can't run so many things.
You really think they would have switched? Like, I mean, like now because Hoyer showed well in one game, or they would have stuck with Brian Hoyer? Because you got to remember at that point, Cam Newton for three games looked pretty good. This team was 2-1 when he missed that game.
No, so, that's not. But
they were going back to him.
If Brian Hoyer had a good game in the hopper, if he had already shown that he can play and he can, you can have a bigger impact. You can run more of your offense with Brian
then
Hoyer because
he
can throw better. Not saying that he starts the next week. I'm saying we've seen. Yeah, you're winning. You've won three of the last four. We get it, but it's not because of Cam Newton. So, if there was a viable option, then that person would have lost his job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, this game here was pretty bad. You know, it's just that last interception. Hey, the one that got tipped, whatever, but that last interception was really bad and should have really cost them the game. And you know, the funny thing is that people, like, they try hard, right? I mean, overall, you just got to look at Cam Newton and say he's not very good. But when he makes a play, like you were talking before about that third and 13 run, whatever, it's like, okay, he's a quarterback in the NFL. Like, we're trying to pick the three or four good moments he had in a game. Like, most quarterbacks have a lot more than that, right? He's got a few select moments in a game, but overall, it's not there. Like, they're winning in spite of this guy. Like, that game right there, if you had a competent quarterback with the way that defense played, you'd probably win this game by 13, 14 points.
Easily.
Because it's just, he's so restrictive in what you can do, restricting this offense and what they can do. It really is. Yes, he can run. But look around the league, okay? There's probably already 10 quarterbacks that probably run better than him right now.
Yeah, but I would say earlier in the season, go back to that Miami game, he was having some long, extended runs. He's not doing that anymore. He had that 14-yard yesterday, but most of them now, guys, are 3-4 yards. He's not getting those long runs. He looks slower than he did earlier in the season.
Week one is the best we've seen him.
No question, and maybe he's kind of worn out. I don't know. Maybe he's at the point in his career where he's kind of going off that edge. I want to go back to what you were talking about with the whole thing with Stidham. The one thing that's obvious with Bill Belichick was we got a history of him with 20-plus years now. He doesn't give a rat's ass about whether you're a first-round draft pick, seventh-round draft pick, undrafted, whatever. He's not playing Jarrett Stidham or playing Hoyer because he really believes that this guy gives him the best chance to win. I'm convinced of that. What other reason would he continue to bring Cam Newton every single week out there?
That's my point. So this Stidham whole must thing, be... if they thought he was... Any other team, if they had a whoever gives us the best option to win, all these other teams are rotating their quarterbacks in and out. You got Philly playing tonight. It looks like Jalen Hurts is going to play a lot. Tua Tagovailoa, you know, takes the job from Ryan Fitzpatrick after they're winning games. He gets hurt. They pull him. Now Ryan Fitzpatrick is winning them games. They're going to keep doing this. This is what teams that don't have a quarterback do. But if you have guys that are comparable, you know what? Let's give this guy a try.
Well,
nothing to lose.
I think the biggest difference is that, like, between Hoyer and Stidham, neither one of them throw the ball outstanding, right? Or they'd be playing. Because if you look at it and say, okay, how much better is Jared Stidham throwing the football than Cam Newton? Maybe they know the answer. Maybe they don't think he's that much better. Or maybe he's slightly
scary.
Well, maybe they think he's slightly better. But what Cam can do with his legs, even if it's just for 5 or 6 plays in a game, those other guys can't do. So therefore, that makes him the better option. I'm talking about 3rd and 1. I'm talking 4th and 1. I'm talking goal line. Like those moments that Cam Newton is obviously better than those other two, you sit there and you try to weigh it and say, okay, if I don't play Cam, I sort of lose that. These other guys can't do it. Well, they better be a lot better than him throwing the football then in order to take that option away. Right, and maybe they're just not. So it's a sad state of what the quarterback room looks like.
I'm going to give you one more that might be a factor in all of this. Did you guys notice how Bill Belichick opened up his post-game press conference? He went on for 2.5 minutes about the leadership and the veterans and what they're doing for the team and whatever. So, and he seems to like what these guys are doing as a team. Christian, could it possibly be that we've seen this, that Cam Newton has that type of personality, that he is the Pied Piper? All of these guys seem to say nice things and jump along on board. Is it because he feels that by having Cam Newton as the quarterback, he leads that team? These other guys don't have that leadership ability.
So you're saying, listen, if personality was weighed in as a factor of you playing or not, I never would have lost my job, ever. I don't care where these guys were drafted. If personality has
Vrabel,
something to do
with
it.
Sit down.
No. Dan Graham, Ben Watson, see ya. Beat it. No autographs, kid. No. It's what Lou said. Yes, you know, he is limited, but it's not to the fact where he's limited in some areas, but the other assets that he have are so important. The touchdown play to James White, the little option, okay? The quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 13.
These other guys can't do it.
They can't do it. So, hell, if everything's equal and the upside. Because for those guys to take his job, there's got to be a significant ceiling that they think he can reach, and they decided to bail on Cam Newton because they feel like it's no different than a guard losing his job, a tailback losing his job. You think Sony Michel's getting his job back? You think
no.
he's getting the starting? No, he's not, no. Because I already know that Harris is better. So yes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he does. I've seen it now.
We're talking about a quarterback right now that is bottom 5 in the league. You can look at the stats, but forget about the stats. What do your eyes tell you when you watch this guy every single week? That Ryan Fitzpatrick could come in and do a better job. There are a ton of quarterbacks that are out there right now that could come in here and do a better job. Is that
you know
fair?
Why you won this game? And we can sit there and go, your special teams were on point. You had a great – you haven't had any contributions from kickoff return or punt return all year. And I would say Olszewski has won because the guy that was the gunner stopped. And Olszewski didn't even realize that he just kept going. The very next punt return, the dude runs into his blocker again. Acting like this? So Dante Moncrief becomes your kick returner. He
pretty
just
good.
Happens to get free. So he's running all over the place. So good for him. And then I would say Jake Bailey's been on point all year.
Special teams.
I say Nick Folk has been good all year also. But other than that, you played good because – and I told you guys this on Friday or Wednesday, and actually I heard Daryl Johnson mention the same exact stat. What Arizona is when Kyler Murray's held 30 yards or less rushing, they are 1-8-1
right
over his lifetime as a pro. He had 31 yards. So also I would say they stopped them running the football. The Arizona Cardinals had a season low. Yards per attempt, yards per play, 4.3 yards per play.
That's why I say they won. The defense was amazing.
It was all defense, special teams, and coaching.
Not allow us to look at the quarterback. We want to focus on the quarterback position. He says, "Nah, this is a team.
Yeah.
This is it's complimentary football." So the special teams bailed them out.
So let's focus on the quarterback for 1 second because Mike Giardi tweeted this out. Cam Newton is the first quarterback to win a game with fewer than 10 completions, fewer than 100 yards passing, zero passing touchdowns, and 2+ interceptions since Houston's Brock Osweiler. I mean, sorry. They won in spite of him.
Those other things were great.
Anybody could have played quarterback for that team yesterday and won that football game.
I agree.
Anybody. Stidham, Hoyer, anybody.
And that's the problem week to week, and that's the problem with looking at the schedule and telling me that they can run the table. They can't because their quarterback's not good enough. Not because the defense can't have big games or special teams can't do it. Quarterback's not good enough. We'll get into it. Can they make the playoffs? Christian thinks if we have a major breakout of COVID,
Glenn.
It is happening. It's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. This hour has been brought to you by Window Nation.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.